Well, we're wrapping up our Galatians series. We'll be in Galatians 6 today, and kind of finishing up there. There's so many more things that when you read through Galatians, and it's like there's so many more areas that you could look at and focus on. But man, I love the ending to this letter, Galatians 6. It talks about boasting today. And so boasting isn't just what you say out loud. It's not always the person going, hey, look at me. I'm amazing. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's subtle. It's sneaky. Y'all ever heard of that phrase, a humble brag? Y'all know what a humble brag is? Here's an example where someone tries to be modest, but they're really just showing off. Maybe some of y'all have said it, but hopefully I'm not calling anyone out. I just don't have any clothes that fit anymore now that I've lost all this weight. And you're like, oh, okay, what you're really trying to tell me is you've lost a lot of weight. Or I can't believe I got promoted again this year. I really just wanted to be able to take a break. Or, man... my Tesla is in the shop again. Ah, it's the worst. Johnny just won another award. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, where are we going to put this with the rest of them? We don't even have room for all these awards that Johnny has, you know? And it's like this idea where we want to boast, but we've kind of come a little more subtly to where we try to say it in a humbling way, where we want to seem modest. We want people to see our successes without really having to say it out loud. It's not just something that we deal with now. I'm in the generation that didn't have to experience this, but my mother-in-law, she's here, and so she's in that generation probably, you know. But like someone invites you over for dinner, well, you know, now we just have like invite you over to dinner, and now we want you to be part of a pyramid scheme, but that's a different story. But like back then, when they would invite you over, and then you have dinner, and then it's like, all right, you think you're about ready to leave, and then they plop down the video camera, the old slideshow, and they would show you their home movies from their vacation, and you had to laugh and smile, and you know their kids are doing things that only they find funny, but yet you have to pretend somebody is reliving some moments here. But like you have to like pretend that it's funny, and you're like a captive audience, and really what they're just trying to show you is every picture is them like, the bed's made, the car, look at the nice car, here's where they went, and all that. And you're like, okay, yeah, awesome, great. Or nowadays with social media, it's a thing that we can be, if we're not careful, it can have that same idea where we have that perfectly cropped photo, a carefully worded caption, or a vacation highlight reel that makes everyone else's life look boring. Even if we don't mean to, we're all wired to want approval or recognition in one way or another. I was doing a funeral on Wednesday also, and I did one Tuesday. I did one on Wednesday, not humble brag. I'm just saying what I did this week. There was another pastor that read the obituary, and before, we didn't really know how the order of service was going to go, so we were talking about it through it, and so I introduced myself to him, and he said, well, now I'm Southern Baptist. I said, okay, yeah, cool. I'm non-denominational. And he goes, my ordination is from the Southern Baptist Convention of Texas. I was like, I'm right here? Who? I mean, he's projecting like he's like, and he goes, but I'm ordained by the Lord. I was like, okay. Got it. I didn't even question any of this. I just said, my name is Jeff. Like, hey. And I was trying to get the order of the service going. And I go, hey, are you going to pray to start it? He goes, I don't do anything until I pray first. I was like, got it. You tell me what you want me to do. Because every question I'm asking is just leading to this, like, man, I am ordained. But I was like, you, I mean, y'all know, like the good stuff. And I was like, oh, man, okay. So, and it was kind of funny, but not really, but like then it was his turn and he read the obituary. And if you have to read the obituary of a Hispanic family, man, Lord bless you. There are names and there's nicknames and there's seven names and four last, and you're just like, man. But this guy was like, ooh, I'm the, and I mean, he started going through the obituary and he, I get it, in most of mine, when I see the name Jesus, that's Jesus. I get that. But at a Hispanic funeral and a get-together, that's Jesus. And he's reading the obituary and who was survived by, and he goes, and Jesus Ramirez. And I was like, man. And I'm sitting back there. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And there were several names where he just messed up and just mispronounced. And my wife will tell you that I am not good at this. So that's right. I struggle with that. But the whole time, I was just thinking about that. But he was so ready to tell me that he was a Southern Baptist minister. He was ordained by God and he prayed. And like, we just want to be known and recognized. And sometimes the things we boast about, we don't even realize. It's the ways that we tell stories that make ourselves look generous. Or maybe it's a spiritual boast where we subtly drop the hint that we've been fasting for 21 days. That God somehow is going to owe us a medal for our effort. Or someone recommends you a book and you're like, I read that 5 years ago. And you're like, oh, okay, well, sorry. I just thought you might like that. Or, hey, I thought you would like this book. And then, you know, you're like, hey, I've got four more before I can read that one. And what are we just trying to say? Hey, I'm reading. I got it. You know, or for me, when people are like, hey, I think you would like this book, or let me get you this book. My thing is I always go, hey, it's got to be hardcover. All right. I don't want a paperback. And they're like, are you serious? I'm like, I know. I said, don't buy it. Don't loan me a book. I'll just go buy it. I want a hardback, you know, but all of these things we do, we try to define ourselves. We try to convince others and sometimes ourselves that we're significant and that we matter. And that's the human temptation that Paul is talking about right here. And that's the beauty of Galatians, all of the book of Galatians, but especially in chapter 6 where he's wrapping it up. Paul shows us the subtle ways that we boast and then points us to the cross. And he says, none of that matters. The only thing that counts, the only thing that you can truly boast in is Jesus. So if you want to turn with me to Galatians 6, we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15. This is Paul talking. He says, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. So this question that I want to pose to you as we're walking through this message together is, what are we boasting in? Where do we put our confidence and our trust in? And this part is so crucial, verse 14, because if you look, like Paul wraps up this whole letter to the Galatians a couple of verses before that in verse 11. Paul says, look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. So if you've been reading through Galatians quite a bit with us this like whole 6 weeks or 7 weeks, whatever it's been, if you've been reading through it, you'll pick up on some things that Paul has talked about where, one, Paul says, hey, look at these large letters. This is me that's writing this to you. So before it was a secretary, somebody that was writing to it, was transcribing his letter for him. But Paul, in this last part, he reaches over and he says, give me the pen. And he says, this is me. This is Paul. Look at what large letters I write with. And there's a little bit, and if you'll go back through like chapter 3, chapter 4, you'll see some references to where Paul talks about that. And there's some historical documentation that Paul had something wrong with his eyes. And so that's why Paul's saying, look at what large letters I write with. Or previously in chapter 4, He said, like I preached the gospel and you didn't reject me because of my physical appearance. At one point he says, you would rip out your eyes and give them to me. And when you put it in the context of Paul, you're seeing that maybe he had something going on with his eyes, and he would say, man, you would love me so much and rip out your eye because his eyes were struggling. But it's interesting when we get to this, Paul's like, okay, wait, I want to make sure that this is done exactly like I said. He takes the pen. And so that's the point that Paul's trying to get across, is that the cross isn't just a message of salvation. It's a message that humbles every human boast, every subtle one and every not so subtle one. That the cross is where pride dies so that life can finally begin. Today's main idea is this, is that when we boast in anything other than the cross, we are shifting our trust, our joy, and our significance onto something that will ultimately fail us. We all want to be seen. We all want approval. We all want people to notice when we've done something well, but Paul is warning us at the end of his letter to be careful what and who our boasting is in. He's mainly talking to the Judaizers right here who have tried to say, you know, he goes early on in his letter and he's like, you started with the spirit, but now you're trying to finish with the flesh. Why are you trying to obey the law? The law has been fulfilled. You don't need that anymore. And the Judaizers were going like, they were boasting in themselves. They were saying, look at me. Look at how I follow the law. Look at me. Look at how I observe the rituals. Look at me. Look at how I follow the eating patterns that the Lord has prescribed. Look at me. I'm circumcised. No, don't look at me at that. But like, look at me. I'm circumcised. I'm like, I'm the man. I'm the Jew. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. And Paul's saying, don't boast in that. Paul says, far be it from me except to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that might sound simple, boast only in the cross. But if we dig a little bit deeper, it's not just a casual suggestion. Paul is talking about boasting as where your heart rests, where your life finds its anchor, and where your soul feels secure. The word for boasting isn't just bragging. It's where we find our confidence and security. Boasting is where we lean, or what we lean on when everything else seems certain, uncertain. Boasting is how we verbalize our confidence. And that's what Paul is addressing here, that we are naturally wired to boast in things that ultimately can't be trusted. We boast in our achievements, our intelligence, our family, our wealth, and they are all temporary. You might feel secure in them for a moment, but the next moment brings a failure and all your confidence crumbles. Just look at the world around us, how it's showing us that this world, these human systems are so temporary. Careers can collapse overnight. Relationships that you just thought were perfect and nothing was wrong can end suddenly. Your health, I mean, things can just be going great. And you go in for a doctor's appointment and they tell you you have cancer. Your whole world can collapse. Whole world can change and shift. And each of these areas, our natural instinct is to lean into them for trust, to boast in them as if they can save us and keep us safe. But Paul says, stop leaning on what will fail. Boast in the cross and you will find something unshakable. He says, boast in the cross because it redirects our trust away from ourselves and onto the faithfulness of God. The cross demonstrates God's ultimate reliability. On the cross, Jesus didn't just die for sin, he conquered it. He took upon himself all the ways that we will fail, and he made a way for us to be fully known, fully loved, and fully accepted by God. That is the kind of trust that doesn't waver. We boast in the cross and not in ourselves, because in that cross, where the word says that while we were yet enemies of him, he went to the cross to die for us. So if while you were an enemy of him, he still died for you, doesn't that build trust? Doesn't it go, okay, I was an enemy. He died for me because he loved me so much. Okay, that's fine. So if I mess up later on in life, if I sin, I tell a lie, whatever, that's not going to change because I'm no longer an enemy of him. I'm a son who made a mistake, but yet that doesn't change because I know that he is for me and not against me. Boasting in the cross builds trust that he is good, because in that is where we find that we are fully loved, fully accepted, and fully known. Boasting in the cross strengthens our trust because it helps us see life differently. When we trust the cross, then we can stop chasing human approval and stop fearing human rejection. Yeah. Amen. We stop relying on achievements to validate our worth. And when we shift in that, we get to experience a freedom that's hard to describe. Can you imagine if you trusted in the Lord that in the cross, I am fully known, fully loved, fully accepted? Then but like if someone doesn't like me, who cares? I mean, you don't want to go around just trying to not make people like you, but who cares? You're not going to please everybody. Stop trying to. If I know that I am fully loved, valued, and known, like he knows everything that you've ever done, everything that you're going to do, and he still died for you. And the people that get upset with you, they don't even know. You're like, you're mad at me for that? Man, I've done way worse. Like, but in the cross, it helps us see things differently. If we live for the praises of man, then we will die by their criticisms. We spend so much of our time trying to make other people happy so that they'll like us, so that they'll approve of us, so they'll be our friends, so they'll come to our dinner party and join our pyramid scheme, like whatever. We want them all to just like us. But why? If I know that I'm loved and valued in the cross, then your opinion of me doesn't matter nearly as much as I want to think that it does. Jack is on today. I like it. It's all right, Shelbs. Don't worry. He's good. Boasting in the cross also reshapes how we respond to trials. There's hardships, there's sickness, there's financial things, there's relationship conflicts. If our trust is anchored in the world, then we will respond to those challenges with fear, frustration, and despair. But if our trust is in him and we boast in the cross, we respond differently. You look at Angela, we don't want to pick on Angela, but you look at Angela, experience one of those hardships in the middle of it, but yet trusting the Lord. It changes it. Without the Lord, where's the hope? If I don't trust that he's for me, where's your hope? And so when you trust in him, when you boast in the cross, that hardship looks a little bit different. It doesn't mean that it's not scary. It doesn't mean that there's not moments of tears and frustration and whys, but it doesn't shake her. I don't know if you've seen it in her, but she's stronger now than she was before. And you're like, how can? Because she's faithful to the Lord. Paul endured imprisonment, persecution, rejection, and yet he still boasted in the cross. His trust wasn't in circumstances, but it was in God. And that trust transforms how we live through adversity. This is important to us because the foundation of every other area of our life is trust. If I don't trust that God is good, if I don't trust that God is for me, if I don't trust that He loves me and He fully knows me and fully accepts me and fully loves me, if that's not the basis of your relationship with Him, then you will always question Him. You will always question everything that happens in life. You will always run to others for validation. You will always lose it whenever bad things happen to you. Trust is the foundation. Without it, we will live in anxiety and fear and striving. God is with us. God is for us. And when we trust Him, we can step forward with confidence, no matter what comes our way. Our main idea is this, is that when we boast in anything other than the cross, we are shifting our trust, our joy, and our significance onto something that will ultimately fail us. Look at verse 14 again. It says, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of Jesus, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at joy. Jesus said, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He went to the cross full of joy so that we could live lives full of joy. Like, we boast in the cross because in the cross is where we find our joy. Happiness is, did they get my order right at Starbucks? Is it a good, smooth commute? Were there any bad drivers on the road today? I almost said idiots, but I didn't. Any bad drivers get in the way, not paying attention? Like, that's what we think, you know, man, and this is happiness. It really is, because it's fleeting, because next week we might lose. But, man, happiness, Texas whooping up on OU. Like, that's happiness right there. I mean, not even just beating them, just whooping up on them. And that's happiness. And I know, like in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when we play Georgia, I ain't going to be happy. Probably I'm not going to be happy either, right? But our happiness comes and goes on different things. But what we're looking at is when we can boast in the cross, then my joy is unshakable. Then no matter what happens, no matter what comes against me, I can still be full of joy. Joy is this idea that it's a deep gladness of the soul, often present even when life is hard. It's a persistent and inner delight that transcends external conditions. That's what the Greek word right there is, really this idea. Joy is a persistent inner delight that transcends external conditions. The problem is we try to find joy and other places, and circumstances, achievements, control, and we boast in things that are temporary. One slight failure, one bad day, and the joy collapses. I mean, guys, I confess mine, like, can our day just not vary our weekend on if our team wins? If our kid team, sports team win, or he's a hunter, like our day can be good to great if you go out there with the expectation, I'm going to get the big deer, and you don't get it, and you're like, oh man, that was a waste. Ladies, like you make this great meal for potluck with soup and salad next week, and you're so excited about it, and you go to get your dish after the meal, and it's still 3/4 full, and you're like, that was good. What was wrong with those people? You know, like, you're so excited that so quickly something can happen. And then it can go in an instant. And Paul is saying, stop building your joy on unstable ground. Boast in the cross and your joy will stand firm. Boasting in the cross brings joy because it's rooted in the reality that the cross is the ultimate truth of God's love and grace. You are loved. Like, why can I have joy today? I'm loved. Not because of what I've done or what I'm gonna do, I almost went redneck. Not what I'm going to do, or not what I'm going to do, but because Christ has done it. I can have joy when I boast in the cross because I'm forgiven. I'm not flawless, but Jesus bore my sin. Not only do I get to have joy in the cross when I boast in the cross because not only am I forgiven, not only are you forgiven, he like kicks it up a notch, like Emeril Lagasse. He kicks it up a notch and he says, you are the righteousness of God. So, for you OU fans, how can you not be joyful today? I mean, you're loved, you're valued, your team stinks, but who cares? You're forgiven. You're the righteousness of God. And no matter what happens tomorrow at work, no matter if your husband doesn't take out the trash or put away his clothes or whatever, like it doesn't matter, because it kind of matters in the household, that don't get me wrong. But like, we can be joyful because at the end of the day, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm the righteousness, and you're accepted. Like me and my brother is a missionary in Honduras, and I love my brother. I don't like him all the time. And he would say the same thing about me. He would actually say, Paul, he doesn't like me most of the time. Agreed. But like, can you take this idea of that you are accepted? Like God loves you, he forgave you, and he likes you. He longs to be with you. So much that he gave up his only son so that he could spend eternity with us? That's ridiculous. And so how can we go about life not being joyful? How can we let the price of Bitcoin going down throw us off? How can we be excited about the government shutdown? Like, finally, they're out of the way. Like, how can we let that go up and down our mood? Like, why do we let these things happen? We lose a job and it's like, oh, it's the end of the world. But if you're boasting in the cross, then you won't respond with anxiety and fear and worry and doubt. You'll respond with trust. You'll respond with joy. Because you know that no matter what happens, and I don't know what the next season holds after a job loss, after this job loss, but man, I know he's with me. He's on the other side of it. What's not to be joyful about? Joy, when it's anchored in the cross, is independent of circumstances, things that can never be taken away from you. Paul was imprisoned, persecuted, endured constant rejection, yet he could boast in the cross. He writes in a letter to Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He wrote that from prison. Persecuted, rejected, abandoned by people, but accepted, loved, and forgiven by the Lord. And Paul says, rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. When we die to ourself and we boast in Christ, the Spirit produces joy that can't be manufactured by human effort. Only when we boast in Christ does our joy endure, even in suffering, even in rejection, and even in uncertainty. Joy will sustain us and carry us when the world disappoints. Paul's point is simple yet radical right here when he says, when we place our boast in Christ alone, our joy is freed from earthly dependences. When we boast in anything other than the cross, we're shifting our trust, our joy, and our significance onto something that will ultimately fail us. last point right here. This is the most practical one for our lives today. It touches our deepest human need, and that's the need to know that we matter, that we love, and that we count. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Significance. You're like, man, what? Okay, trust and joy. Jeff, I can see where you get that one. Significance. That Greek word for boast, when it's translated, it means that the sense of finding identity, satisfaction, and honor in something. Boasting is more than just saying, look at me. It's leaning on something to define your worth, your meaning, your life. So when we boast in the cross, we find our significance because the cross is what defines my worth, my meaning, and my life. When we measure ourselves by what we do, by what we earn and how we look, how others perceive us, or even how spiritually accomplished we appear, these things are unstable. They shift, they disappoint, and they fail. Our most deepest human need is this idea to know that we matter and that we're loved. And on the cross is where we find that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not based on your performance or your achievements or even your faithfulness. Your significance is rooted in the finished work of Jesus. When we boast in the cross of Jesus Christ alone, then it's never about external approval or internal comparison. Instead, our worth is anchored in the unchangeable truth of the gospel. When I boast in the cross alone, then I don't have to constantly compare myself to others. If I find my significance is in the cross and that I'm a son, that I'm loved, that I'm valued, that I'm fully known, and that I matter, then it doesn't matter how well you are doing in life. That doesn't affect me. It doesn't make me feel like less of a person. You look at pastors that have thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers, and if my identity and my significance is not found in the cross, then I can feel like a failure when I compare myself to others. When other people get a promotion, when other people get new cars and new toys and new houses and all the things, and if my boast is in the external, then I'm going to feel very inferior. But when I know that the Lord is good and He loves me, it frees me from that cycle of comparison. When I realize that my value comes from Christ and not who I compare myself to, this allows us to rejoice in others' successes without envy and to walk confidently in our own calling. Also, when we boast in the cross, it allows us to be vulnerable. This is the one, the guys are like, man, I don't know what word that means. What do y'all think? Vulnerable? Share my feelings? Like, we no longer have to maintain a perfect image or hide our failures or manipulate perceptions to feel valuable. Because our significance is grounded in the cross, we can admit weaknesses, confess sins, and ask for help without fear that our worth is at stake. When I boast in the cross, then I'm okay to admit, hey, I need help here. I can't do this on my own. This week at work, there was a guy, I meet with him regularly, like outside of work, we'll go to lunch once a week, and his name's Gus, he's a young guy, and this day, Gus was having a bad day, and His happiness comes and goes on whether his girlfriend is mad at him or happy with him, or if she stops sharing her location with him, or whatever y'all do nowadays. Man, I don't want to ever have to date again. It just comes and goes. But Thursday was like particularly bad. I was like, man, Gus is having a rough day. So I said, hey, come into my office, Gus. Come see me. He was down on the job. So I said, come to the office. And he comes in. He's like, what? I go, Gus, I'm not mad at you. You're not in trouble. I want the best for you. You know, I love you. Like, let's just talk. I said, so what's going on, man? He said, nothing. No, I said, no, come on. Come down to it. And you know, when you can lay the foundation that I'm not mad at you, you're not in trouble, I want the best for you, and I love you. That produces vulnerability. And so Gus began to share that he had a grand plan for him and his girlfriend. And it's funny to just think about it, because he had a grand plan. And his girlfriend told him that was the worst idea she's ever heard. Exactly, Jack. He began to then confess how when she turned down his idea, it made him feel like he wasn't man enough. Like he wasn't enough for her. And in that moment, there was vulnerability. And in that moment, we got to pray together and pronounce healing. And I got to cancel the lie that he isn't man enough, that he's not enough. And that's what, when we boast in the cross, that foundation of trust and joy is already laid down. And so when we go to the Father, or when the Father comes to us, we know that he's not mad at us. We're not in trouble. He wants the best for us, and that he loves us. So what does that do? That produces vulnerability. And when I can be vulnerable, then I can get rid of all those things that hold me down and keep me locked up in a prison of my own mind and my own doing. When I'm vulnerable, when I boast in the cross, and when I become vulnerable, then I get to walk in the freedom that he's called me to. I think our significance, our worth, our value is under attack all the time. We're always being compared to others through social media, through career pressures, through the relationship, and through other people. They can make us feel small, inadequate, or unseen. If we boast in anything other than the cross, then our sense of value becomes fragile. Because the cross says that you are enough, that you belong, and you are treasured by God. Your value does not depend on what you do, how others perceive you, or even how you feel today. Our significance is found in him alone. Today's main idea is this is the most practical point for our life right here. This main idea is this, is that if we boast in anything other than the cross, if we put our trust, our joy, our hope, significance in anything other than the cross, it's fragile and it's fleeting. And here's the question, what are you boasting in today? What are you leaning on to support you? Where do you find your identity and your value and your worth? Maybe it's not something that you say out loud, but where's your confidence, your joy, and your sense of significance? Where's your trust? When life shakes, what's the first thing you reach for to steady yourself? Is it control? You grab the plan, the spreadsheet, the to-do list. Is it comfort? Food, distraction, shopping, scrolling? That was a multiple choice, but it could be all of them for you. For others, it's affirmation. None of those things are evil in themselves, but when we lean on them for stability, they become the thing that we boast in. Joy reveals what we boast in. If your joy rises and falls with the economy, the relationship, or the approval, the performance, then it's tethered to something temporary. Real joy, the kind that lasts, is found not in what's happening to you, but what's happened for you. And where is your significance? We're all looking for validation. We all want to know that we matter, to be seen. The cross declares that you are loved, that you don't have to prove yourself anymore, that you just have to live from the place of already being chosen. Today's invitation is simple. It's to recenter your life again on the cross, to bring your trust, your joy, and your significance back to the one who never fails. And when you do that, you have freedom from anxiety because your trust is secure, freedom from despair because your joy is steady, and freedom from striving because your significance is settled. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to give us a moment to respond. I want you to ask, where is your trust? Where is your joy? Where is your significance? So, Father, we just come before you right now. Reveal to us where you want us to recenter our life. Where have we gotten off track? Where have we ran to fragile and temporary things to find our trust, our joy, and our significance? I pray that we would just confess those things and that we would be anchored back to the cross and that we would boast in it and it alone. Jesus, we love you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.